Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories in the business world.
We're going to start with Dr. Jen Rafferty. Her website is empowerededucator.com, and she is going to talk about what she is doing with education. So welcome, Jen. Give us an overview of what you're doing.
Sure. So Empowered Educator provides unparalleled training for all of the adults in schools about emotional intelligence. So similarly to what Kenny was talking about, you know, we realized that teacher burnout isn't anything new. It was highlighted during COVID and could no longer be ignored. And frankly, it's been getting worse since. Our kids are changing, their needs are changing, their emotional needs are growing, and the adults around them who are caring for them, teaching them, supporting them, are not able to give them what they need because we ourselves are starving for our own emotional well-being. And so when we go in there and we train teachers on self-awareness, self-regulation, social awareness, and relationship management, among other things, high-level mindset work, they're able to show up as their best selves for their students and the communities that they serve.
Boy, I know that as a parent, right? If you don't get a good night's rest as a parent, it's really hard to put up with those kids the next day.
Sure is. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
So what are some symptoms of burnout? How does a teacher know if they're burnt out?
Being a teacher with burnout isn't any different than being a person who does anything else in the world with burnout. The way perhaps that it is manifested could be a little bit different. But, you know, think about when you're feeling burnt out. What does that physically feel like to you? You're probably, you know, achy. You probably have a headache. Your muscles are probably tense. And that means you're probably not eating very well. You might be scrolling on social media for a lot longer or zoning out on Netflix or some other streaming platform. You might be finding yourself drinking a bottle or two of wine when you might not have wanted to in the first place. And finding all of these numbing strategies where if you were to sit for a moment and focus on the things that are actually challenging you, that requires some work. And again, going back to what Kenny had talked about before, it's easier to go to external things to make quick fixes for how you're feeling. But the truth is they're not sustainable. So we continue to quick fix ourselves into feeling better. And we have this idea of self-care being getting a manicure, or going out to get a massage, or taking a mental health day. None of those strategies are sustainable. So burnout looks like exhaustion. Emotional exhaustion. Burnout can look like feeling impatient and snappy with the people who are around you, not focusing at work, not focusing anywhere, fatigue, all of it. And so when you're in burnout, you know it. You just often don't know how to get out of it.
So how do you get out of it? What do you do?
Well, the first thing, I think, again, you know, hearkening back to what Kenny had talked about, you know, I have my PhD in educational psychology, so I'm coming from the perspective of cognitive neuroscience and high-level mindset work here. However, a lot of times when we talk about mindset, we forget that we have a body, and the truth is the body is where all of this information is stored. You know, you think 65 to 85,000 thoughts every single day, and most of them are on repeat, and they come from fear and past experiences and your ego. And so in order to make changes, you have to stop listening to the thoughts in your mind, which are not facts, they're options, and start listening to your body. And so many of us have been dissociated from our bodies for decades for all sorts of reasons, big T trauma, little T trauma, society, what we see on TV and the things that we consume. But when you start to connect with your body, that's where you get to recognize, well, where does this stress live? Stress is internal, stressors are external. So how do we go about navigating burnout? You have to slow down enough and create some sort of quiet and stillness for you to even understand what's going on here before you start addressing the things that are outside of you.
But I do kind of wonder, how do you connect with your body? What do you tell people? I mean, I think I might know, but I'd like to hear your Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And truthfully, this one little exercise has changed my life and the thousands of educators and clients that I work with. And that's taking just 30 seconds. First of all, putting your hand to your heart. It is that simple. When you put your hand to your own body, you are releasing oxytocin, which is the trust hormone and the love hormone. So if you want to establish some more self-trust and self-love, you don't have to buy another app. Just put your hand on your heart for a second. And the second piece of this is breathing. You know, when we have intentional breathing breaks throughout the day, you're interrupting your autopilot. We take about 23,000 breaths every single day. And if you think about it, how many of those are intentional? Probably none. And so take just a couple of seconds, hand to heart. I use the box breath, which is inhale for 4, pause for 4, exhale for 4, pause for 4. I do that 3 times, and I do that about 4 times a day at the very least. And what that does is it not only gets me in touch with my body, it interrupts my thought processes, and it creates awareness to what my body is doing, which normally I wouldn't realize. For example, when I do a breathing break throughout the day, I might realize my shoulders want to feel my earrings. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't even realize that my shoulders were so high up. And I have a moment to relax and refocus my thoughts. You know, the greatest gift that you have is your attention. And we think attention comes from the mind, but it comes from the body first. And until we start interrupting those patterns, simply just by breathing throughout the day intentionally, nothing's ever going to change.
Yeah, I agree. So we're talking to Jen Rafferty with Empowered Educator. We have our guest here today, Kenny Lang. Kenny, do you have a question or comment for Jen?
I just want to plus one all of that. I was somebody who trapped a lot of stress in my body and actually had to have a therapist help me with grounding, box breathing. And Jen, I'd be curious, what from your research and just client interactions, it's one thing to maybe put in some practices or start to figure out, okay, I am stressed, but preventative, because it's, you know, it can be hard when you're burnt out. You're like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to scroll. To get started and then to start to catch yourself before you become dysregulated. Because in the classroom, like we're seeing stories of teachers who they likely are burnt out, they're dysregulated, and then they're exhibiting poor behavior towards students and it's costing them their jobs or at least their reputation. So how do they start to get on the front end of that and have some like an early warning system?
Great question. So first thing, there's two things. First thing is a regulated nervous system does not mean that you are singing kumbaya, floating on cloud 9 all day. A regulated nervous system is about oscillating between your sympathetic nervous system and your parasympathetic nervous system, which is a state of survival and protection versus a state of safety and performance, which is really where we want to be to do our best work, to show up, to do things like speak on this radio show, to teach a class, to serve clients, right? But your brain is actively going to search out threats and deficits because its job is to keep you alive. Your brain doesn't care if you're happy. Your brain doesn't care if you're living your dreams. In fact, it would rather you didn't live your dreams because it has no evidence of you doing that and surviving to tell the tale. So it's wanting to keep you in a stress state more often than is serving you. And so the structures that we have to support the people that we serve. You know, I mentioned before, I do my breathing breaks at least 4 times a day, not because I'm feeling stressed, but because I'm stretching my regulation muscle so that my nervous system, when is activated by some sort of threat, it's not going to the high peaks that it might have before, and it's able to come down more easily than it had before. So instead of kind of going through my day in this, mm-hmm. you know, ragged, like high alert, I'm more able to float through the day with, okay, this is activating, but I'm able to come right back down. And that's the stuff that happens before. It's very upstream thinking. You know, I read a lot of Heath's books. I love Dan Heath. He talks about that upstream thinking of business, of strategy. Well, I think about that in terms of nervous system regulation as well. Mm-hmm.
So, Jen, what is your business model? Are you coaching individuals? Are you giving presentations to groups? How are you spreading the word on this?
There are a few things that we're doing. We have a multi way of getting our content right now. A lot of it is done online. We have two self-paced classes called Thrive. And once clients move through those self-paced classes, we have two online live experiences where people can get the replays if they want to. But it takes you through more of an introductory runway to this emotional intelligence and high-level mindset work, to then going really deep with a live practitioner so we can really get into, you know, what Kenny was even talking about before, belief work. You know, where did we learn these things about ourselves? How are we showing up? Who do we want to be? And how do we build a bridge to support you to get there? So those classes are called Redesign Your Mind 1, Redesign Your Mind 2. And then in the meantime, we have programs for parents, which are very similar, leadership, which is very similar. And then I go out, I do a lot of keynote speaking, and I'm able to do events like this and interviews like this too. And I also have a book coming out next year with Penguin Random House. So there's a lot of different ways to get to this content and how we can serve our clients.
And people find that through your website?
Yes, empowerededucator.com.
So is your main focus around burnout, or do you also serve teachers and leaders in other ways too?
Our focus, I would not say, is burnout. That is a nice result of the work that we do. What we're doing is we're providing our workforce in our educational systems with the skill set to show up as their best selves. What's happening is our kids are learning what it's like to be an adult by looking at the adults around them who are living in perpetual overwhelm and frustration, and they're thirsty for emotional connection and connection to each other. And, you know, once we get to be a certain age, we're adulting all of a sudden, and we're expected to know how to live through life. And no one actually teaches you these skills. So we come in and we teach how to manage your emotional life, how to manage your thoughts, how to regulate your nervous system, so that it's the work that makes all of the other work work. And what does happen is we're finding that teachers are feeling less burned out, but we're also finding that there's a higher retention rate. We're finding that kids are performing better academically when their teachers are more regulated. We're finding that there are lower behavior referrals in these classrooms. We're finding that teachers are finally living their best lives. Like, hey, Jen, I took your class and I've lost 60 pounds this year. Hey, Jen, I took your class and I finally booked this trip to Ireland that's been on my bucket list forever. I had this really difficult conversation with my administrator, and now our relationship is so much better. So it's not just about burnout. Burnout is a very popular, buzzy term right now that we can point to, but it's really about showing up as the person that you want to be, not by default. You're living your life by design instead of by default.
Given all the changes in the world, you know, between COVID and cell phones and popular culture, is it possible for a single teacher to really lead a classroom of young people, you know, high schoolers, middle schoolers? You know, it seems like a tremendous burden to try to manage and elevate them. Is it still possible for teachers to be effective?
1,000%. I was a teacher in the classroom. I taught middle school music for 15 years, and I loved it. I was really good at my job. And I know a lot, thousands of dedicated, brilliant educators who can take a classroom full of kids and turn it into magic. And I think what's happening now, particularly with this post-COVID, our kids are changing, AI, there's a conversation that's happening that is the wrong question. It's not about AI versus teachers. It's how do we provide our teachers with the support, with the education, with the integration, so that they can serve this new generation of kids? How do we close that gap? And instead, we're having wrong conversations about school vouchers. We need to be having conversations about how do we fund our public schools so that our teachers have the support that they need to do the job that they wanted to do, that our kids depend on them doing. And so, do I think it's possible? Absolutely. Do I think they're set up for failure? Yeah, I do. And so the people who are actually doing it are going over and beyond what is necessary. And we need to keep those teachers, especially those teachers, in the classroom.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And with the whole artificial intelligence revolution, I guess, is what we should call it. I saw a teacher present. Well, he was head of tech at the Summit Schools here in New Jersey, and they're teaching kids how to do queries for ChatGPT. They're teaching kids to harness AI, not to just be dragged along by AI, by the, you know, scruff of their neck or whatever. I think that's what we have to do as humans, is we have to make AI work for us and not just like let it control us, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, though, that being an old school type of person, if you're constantly relying on AI to answer your questions, what are you actually learning? Kenny, you were going to say something?
Yeah. If we're in a court of law, I'd yell objection. AI only gives you as good of an answer as your prompt is. It's garbage in, garbage out. I've had this conversation with numerous people, teachers included, and some people who say, yeah, you're just outsourcing your thinking. You're actually not. I spend probably 2 to 4 hours a day utilizing AI in my business, creating custom agents and things like that. And I can tell you, you can put in a really simple prompt and get a really bad answer. And I'm not talking about it's hallucinating or factually incorrect. It's actually just really plain and vanilla and not even helpful towards your end goal. And so it is requiring a different kind and style of thinking that I'm 100% with Jen on this. Is like it's got to be about how do we equip the teachers to bring it into the classroom and teach them practical use cases. Because in the marketplace, so let's bring it back to entrepreneurship. I'm telling my clients, I was like, AI is not going to take your job. The people who know how to use AI will yes. take your job.
Exactly. Because they'll be doing everything faster, because they won't do exactly what AI says, but it'll give them a starting point. They'll be starting from third base.
It'll be better. It'll be faster. And if you don't use it, you are just going to be left behind in a way that you won't ever be able to make up the distance.
So, Jen, we are all behind you 100%.
We have time for one last question with Jen, and that is, how do you view AI and what do you think is the right way to teach AI in our school systems?
I would never be so presumptuous as to share what I think is the right way to do anything. However, I do believe that when we focus on our humanness, our ability to navigate AI will be more seamless. What's happening is we are so focused on the outcome and the output with AI. We are, as human beings, adolescent in our emotional development. And that is, I think, going to be the downfall. Because until you have the emotional skills to support the use of AI, the gap is going to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so while I can speak to AI use and how we see this manifesting in schools and in our world, my expertise is really over here in AI so that we can support all of the new technologies that are coming out.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing that. This has been really interesting. What is your website?
EmpoweredEducator.com.
Thank you very much.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissakat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.